1 o'clock.
Channel Radio.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Business Bunker Show here on Channel Radio in association with Biz Radio. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and the stonkingly gorgeous Jill Serkin.
Lay it on.
You're right.
Yeah, I'm fine, thank you.
We missed you last week.
I know.
Not a lot.
Well, I didn't listen. I didn't tune in.
What?
See how you managed on your
what?
Own.
What?
I'm sure you were admirable.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Well, I had help from Simon.
Of course.
Simon Webster. Yeah.
I had to call off the hecklers on one of his comments, Paul Simon. I meant to.
Oh, you wound him up on Facebook, didn't you?
Not moi. Not Facebook. Twitter it was.
Oh, was it? I thought it was on Facebook.
Oh, maybe it was.
It was
well.
On Facebook. I saw it.
I think he dared to say because I have a lot of.
He contradicted
damage.
You, did he?
Well, he didn't really. He just said, "I've had 3 boosters and 3 jabs,
and I'm fine."
And so is my wife, which is like saying to someone with no money, "I've just been to the Bahamas." You know,
it doesn't.
It didn't go. So my posse of poor vaccine damaged people all set upon him. And I suddenly realised what was happening on my timeline, and I popped in and said, "He's actually a really nice chap." And he didn't think.
Being sensible for a moment, it is one of the problems with social media, isn't it? Is that people get very emotive about it. And because they're not sitting in a room talking to you, they can get quite nasty because they're very emotional about whatever side of the argument it is.
I once said, I have a lot of clients in Nigeria, as you know, and I once said very innocently,
"Careful.
Do you grow lemons in Nigeria?" Meaning, you know, is the climate like a Mediterranean climate? Because we know that citrus grows really well in Spain and Italy and things. Yeah. And I got absolutely trod. "Do we grow lemons?" "Yes, you taught us when you took over our country." And, you know, it was very awful. And I did get very badly trolled. It was a very innocent thing. Mm. But as you say, sometimes things can get...
There's no such thing as innocence on social media anymore either.
There isn't.
Yeah,
it's an emotive subject, isn't it? Because it's very odd.
Everything is, yeah.
But it's odd how some people have the jab and they sail through and others do not.
One of the biggest problems with social media is people come with a fixed mindset of whatever their political affiliations are or whatever their thoughts and feelings are, and then they go bonkers with it. One of the things that really annoys me is...
That's the one, darling.
Yeah. But the one that annoys me more than anything else, because you know as well as I do, I spent a lot of time many years ago trying to sort this out, is Dover and Operation Stack and lorries queuing on the road. And the amount of people that every time there's a traffic jam on the M20 coming, and go, "Brexit, told you, it's all the gammons, it's all your fault, blah, blah, blah." And you go, "It's got nothing to do with Brexit. One of the ferries broke down."
Yeah, but they're still going to think it's Brexit.
But that's that's Brexit fault. And, how do you expect to, you know, and you just... And people don't stop when you give them the facts.
And I think it's very hard to, unless you're circling, as we are on Twitter, we have a lot of followers, and therefore it's very easy to find. Most of it is, I believe, truth. That, you know, the people that we're talking to, they're not liars or whatevers. It's very easy to find that news. I mean, even my kids came down at the weekend. They're all young professionals, and they said they find out stuff on Twitter before anything, you know, before BBC News or whatever.
Sure, but my point is that there's far too many people from every side of, you know, every side of every argument that are so fixed in their view that their argument is the case no matter what.
But doesn't that happen in real life as well?
Yeah, it does, but it's not as magnified as it is, you know, because you don't get people clustered together all picking on someone else by going, "No, you're wrong," and calling them names and stuff. And the ones that make me really laugh are the ones that are really, really, really I don't know. They just got, there was a guy the other day. We were talking about radio, okay, and talking about the BBC being defunded, and he went, so not to me, to somebody else. I was just on the periphery of this discussion. He went to this bloke, all right then, smarty, how do you cope with radio if you defund the licence fee? Well, the BBC isn't funded by a radio licence fee anyway. It's funded by a TV licence fee. The radio licence was scrapped 40 years ago. Mm. Yeah, the BBC choose to spend some of their money on radio. And this other guy went, well, I'm sure in this day and age, somebody can find some way of doing subscription radio. And this bloke went, oh, the trouble with people on Twitter is you get everybody that doesn't know a thing about what they're talking about come up with rubbish like that. So I just posted a link to a piece of software for subscribers on radio and went, what, like this you mean? And he blocked me straight away.
It's a funny thing, isn't it? The whole blocking, like you say, if somebody disagrees, they just get huffy and block, which is ridiculous because it should be a discussion.
It is.
And most people are kind.
I
think it's the way, you know, blokes do like to argue, don't they? You like, I mean, you do
no,
like
I
an
don't.
Argument. You do, yes, you do.
Oh, no,
oh,
I don't.
Yes, you do.
No, I don't.
Oh, yes, you do.
No, I don't.
It's behind you.
I don't.
I'm going to ask you a very sensible question.
Okay.
Who might our sponsor
first.
Be? Who might our sponsor
well,
be?
Oh, right. We're absolutely pleased and delighted to be sponsored this week by the lovely folks at ZC Social Media.
We had some fantastic tips from them when I was
last on. We certainly did when Zoe was last on the show, and we certainly did. She's a genius as far as social media and marketing is concerned. Mm. So we're incredibly pleased to be sponsored this week by ZC Social Media and the lovely folks there with their Social Media Academy, ZC Live, and all the other things they do around and about Kent and the South East to help us with our digital marketing.
And of course, in the studio, we have the lovely Darren Wheel, who is InTune PR. He comes bearing gifts from his local
cake,
bakery.
He bought cake.
Oh, not just any cake, Paul.
No, he bought custard tart.
A gypsy tart.
Gypsy tart and custard tart. Yeah.
Paul's going to have that gypsy
tart. No, I'm not eating any.
No, he won't if she's
Amanda's listening. No.
She's not putting on her foil anymore, though, is she? She's now, you know, in an office.
She is, and that's
position.
Why she's listening.
So no hoil foil or hay bales.
Well, she does that at 6 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah, but not now, is what I'm saying.
Right at this moment, she's listening. So
she's
which
probably
is
having
why,
a little coffee.
Which is why I'm just drinking black coffee and not eating that cake.
Nothing passes his lips, Amanda.
Yeah.
But we've got some lovely gypsy tarts. We can eat later in the caravan, can't we?
Yeah,
with our whippets.
Are you allowed to say that?
Probably not. Also in the studio, we have Christine Atkinson. She's the Bromley Rotary. And the lovely Dennis with one N, Spiller. He's at Rotary SE 1120, which I guess is the old postcode there.
No, it's South East.
No, it's the South East.
It's a chapter name.
Oh, okay. Isn't the what's the 1120? That must be
it's
the postcode.
It's our district.
Isn't it a postcode?
No, it's not Rotary for the third World. Time.
Well, it sounds like one.
But it isn't for the third time.
Okay, so
the Rotary World is split up into districts, and 1120 is Kent and East Sussex.
And do you know
a bit of South London?
Do you know my sort of Tankerton Canterbury Rotary people? Are you buddies?
Well, been there, certainly, yes.
Because they've built, I think I said on Twitter, they've built a lovely little triangular garden for locals. It used to be a little paddling pool, and for some reason that went years ago. And, of course, you know, Canterbury City Council decided they'd probably build on it or something. It's tiny. It's probably about the size of this studio. And the Rotary Club have planted a beautiful garden that's more or less self-looking after. And they pop round now and then, and there's a little upturned boat on it. I will put a picture on later.
Right. Is it nice?
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
What, go boating?
Yeah, no, the upturned boat and everything. What is it? Is it just a garden?
It's an ornament. I don't nick it and go sailing.
Yeah, no, that's what I was asking.
It's an ornament, Paul Andrews.
Right, okay.
It's probably got a hole in it, you know, I don't know.
No, but the triangular garden itself is just a restful garden.
Yeah, it's got a lovely little wall around it. And you can sit on the wall, and there's a bench, of course, as well. But I'm hoping I'm going to find out when you're on the show later on how I can get another triangle done. Happy to help, but we've got another triangle that's people park.
Does
all
it have
over.
To be a triangle?
It just seems we've got a lot of triangles.
It just happens to be a triangle.
Hexagonal, they just ignore. But
who knew that Pythagoras was from Whitstable? Eh?
Pythagoras? Yeah. Do they sell that in your local bakery?
Pythagoras pie.
Pythagoras pie. Yeah. There might be asparagus.
No, don't you know nothing? He's the guy that owns a local kebab shop.
Oh, is it? I had a Wheelers. Kebab on Sunday evening. I had a kebab.
Did you?
My family were going. My youngest had been to a birthday party, so he'd had the full English circ in brunch.
Right.
But he was you know starting to look at biscuits and things. His little blood sugar was going low, and he had to drive back to Greenwich for work the next day, and so we got a kebab. And it was so lovely. I don't often have a kebab. It's really nice. And I decided it's healthy, really. It's protein, isn't it? It's all protein.
Yeah.
It's the sauces, I suppose.
Well, it all depends what kind of kebab you have.
Well, I had a bit of everything. We had a mix.
If you have doner, it's not that healthy. But if you have chicken sheesh, it's actually quite healthy.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you exactly, because I'm an idiot at things like this. A small chicken sheesh in pizza with salad and no sauce is 680 calories.
Wow, that's amazing. Well, I think I ate a bit more than that.
For any portion size?
No, for a small. No, I said a small pizza.
Well,
if you want the extra large, Dennis, yeah.
Well, Dennis is like a whippet, isn't he?
He is. He's built like a whippet, yeah.
He's a racing snake.
I've seen more meat on a butcher's pencil.
Yeah. I mean, he could eat a couple of kebabs, couldn't he?
Probably could, yeah, just for breakfast.
Exactly. Yeah. But we have a local kebab. It's really nice, and they deliver, and they're really sweet. So, again, if you're listening, I know
sweet
a lot of...
Sweet kebab, I don't like that.
They're really lovely. They're lovely people.
Right.
Greekish. Well, I think they might be Turkish. I'm not quite sure. But if you're listening, I know a lot of our listeners love to support their local high street. And somebody tweeted me when I said, it is the season of blood oranges.
Yeah.
And it's a really short season. They're in now and they've got much more vitamin C than your common orange.
Right.
And somebody tweeted me, very sad, from Harrow. I said, go down to your local greengrocers and get them. And she said, we have no local shops. You're very lucky, George. We have no local shops.
Wow.
So there's a little warning to you. If you don't use them, you'll lose them.
Well, we've had a little change in the kebab steaks in Tenston.
Have you?
Yeah, yeah.
What have you got now?
Well, the van by the bogs has gone.
Oh. Well, what's there instead?
Nothing. No, it's empty. It's just a car park by the toilets.
Oh, I wonder what's happened.
And the kebab van's gone. What we've now got is a shop.
And what, in the car park?
No, in the high street. Mustafa Deniz has opened a takeaway kebab shop. And Mustafa owns the Turkish restaurant in Osgoz.
So was he the one that had the van, or
no,
was that someone else?
That was Zafar.
Okay, so did he get rid of Zafar because of his business?
I don't know exactly what happened.
Do you think it was a bit of mafia going?
Well, no,
mafia.
I don't know exactly what happened, but
they say I'll cut you.
No. They've divided up the town because Zafar's got a shop at one end of the town.
I used to love his trumpet playing, didn't you?
Yeah. And Mustafa's got a shop at the other end of the town. So and then in between is Oscar's restaurant.
Mustafa kebab. He could have called it, couldn't
Mustafa
he?
A kebab.
Yeah, Mustafa a kebab.
Yeah.
I do. I think
his name's Dennis as well. Mustafa it? Dennis.
With one D or one N?
No,
one
it's
N or?
With a Z.
Denise. Well, I do love it. And they do baklava, my ones, as well. But my son, who's on quite a strict regime, apart from his hangover, he's 26. And he had a workout the next day with Sonny, his PT, in the gym about 5 in the morning or something ridiculous. So he banned us from getting baklava.
Did he?
Yeah. So we were really healthy that night.
Okay. Well, shall we start the show now?
I think we should. I was going to ask you, though. Obviously, we've still got awful, awful shortages of staff.
Yeah.
Hospitality, beauty. I went to my lovely friend. He's got a hairdresser's in Barnes in London.
Yep.
And he's a trainer for Colour Herb, the colour that I use, which is organic.
I was going to say that. What colour do you use?
So I went to him because I'm using local hairdressers and putting it on. I saw that face, by the way.
Did you?
Yeah. He's turned his nose up, Darren. Did you see that? Crinkled. I actually went to see him.
Yep.
We used to work together, and he's the trainer for the whole of the Colour Herb in the whole of the UK. And
what,
I said,
what is it, Colour Herb?
Colour Herb, yeah. You wouldn't need it.
No.
He said that because I could see my colour was going wrong because I've got a local lady. That's
I didn't want to say
on.
Anything.
She's popping it on for me, but she's going over. You'll know about this, Christine. She's going too far over. So instead of just doing the hairline regrowth.
See, that happened to me.
She's plonking it over. So I'm getting darker and darker. Whereas a lady of my age needs to go blonder and blonder, of course, because to camouflage the greys. So he told me what was going wrong. He said she's putting it on too much. So it's colour over colour. Anyway, he said he's got this really swanky salon in Barnes. You get a hot towel when you arrive, as if you were on a Singapore airline, which is lovely. And then you get a menu for your complimentary drinks, which is all like pamplemousse recycled paper. It's delicious. And then you've got not just any tea, Paul Andrews. It's like a little freshly squeezed mintle, herbal, lemony things. Gorgeous. Two pages. Anyway, so he's going to sort me out, but it means I've got to do a pilgrimage up to Barnes from Whitstable, which is ridiculous. My husband thinks I'm bonkers. But what a woman will do for her hair, Christine.
Absolutely.
We'll do anything, won't we?
Absolutely. Yeah, you go for it.
So he said, so he was doing everything. His hair washing, sweeping, answering the phone, reception.
Yep.
He said he cannot get staff.
You can't get anyone at the moment.
He interviewed, he had 62 applicants for reception, trainee, whatever, hairdresser, junior, you know, to, and he's brilliant. He's absolutely brilliant. 62 applicants. Out of 62, only two turned up for interviews.
Yeah. And it's fairly standard.
20 didn't even bother to say they weren't going to turn up.
Yep, yeah. Fairly standard.
And he's at his wit's end. He said people do not want to work.
It's very true. And most of it is, it's what's called frictional unemployment. So basically you've, and it's, we're in unprecedented times. Basically because of the lockdowns, because of furlough, and because so many businesses are teetering on the edge, lots of people are just sitting there going, there's no point in me leaving a job and going to a new one, because if I get there, I'm going to be made redundant on the first in, first out scale. So I'm going to hang on to see if I'm made redundant. Those people that have been made redundant or have left their jobs are saying, I'm not going to go and get another job yet, because this lockdown and all the rest of it may not have finished, so we need to get through that first. So you've got, and of course, there's also the problem with a lot of organisations that you apply for a job, and then we have a lockdown or we have another bout of this, and everybody goes to work from home, so you can't be interviewed and all the rest of it. So we've had this massive problem where everybody's just ground to a halt and nobody's looking at work. As of tomorrow, when a lot of the restrictions start to end, I would imagine that we will start to see an uptake eventually. But we've always had skills. For the last 5 or 6 years, we've had massive skill shortages. Mm. We've always had an excess of jobs over unemployed people for the last few years. Mm. But it's particularly bad at the moment. But it will sort itself out eventually.
And it could be sort of, you know, when people have been working at home or been on furlough, that they get into a habit of getting up later, maybe not getting dressed. I mean, I know even I, to come in the studio, I don't dress up like I used to. I used to come in nice frilly dresses and things.
Yeah, now she turns up in her pyjamas and her onesie.
Little frock. Yeah. But I do think that you know, when you're working from home, great. Fabulous. But if you're on furlough and you've been filling that time, not doing much, it's going to be very hard to rev up.
This is another issue with the job market. There are two things happening at the moment. Where it's possible in office space work mostly, people that have been working from home kind of want to continue to work from home. They don't want to go back to the office because of the cost of commuting and all the rest of it.
And the time.
And the time they spend.
If you've got young kiddies, the difference.
And the flexibility and all the rest of it.
And you can put a little hot pot on in your lunch hour or put a wash on in your lunch hour, can't you?
Well, I wouldn't do that. I'd just wear
a
jumper.
You'd get a kebab, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah. But you've also got another drive happening in background, which is this move towards a 4-day week.
I know, but don't you think that's a bit dangerous when we're in an economic recession?
Well, the thing that...
I mean, I'd love a 4-day week.
Yeah, but the thing that bothers me about so many of these things is they're contrived because everyone's talking about it, but like 80% of jobs couldn't possibly be done like that.
Of course not.
Yeah, you can't... If you manufacture cars, you can't go, right, well, we're not coming in today, we're not going to put the wheels on, we'll do that next week. You know, it doesn't work like that.
Well, I get uppity because hairdressers don't open on a Monday.
Right, and the fact is that a lot of people are being kind of bamboozled by this. It's actually 4 12-hour shifts that they're asking you to do. So you're not people will say, right, you only work 4 days and we pay you the same amount of money. But it's a 12-hour shift. So you're doing the same amount of hours. You're just doing longer hours each day. Now, some people
prefer
that.
Maybe there's job shares.
Well, some people prefer that. Some people go, well, I don't mind doing 4 12-hour shifts and then having a long weekend. That's great.
I know two young ladies that just started off in hospitality. One is a really, really well-qualified, beautiful, fabulous chef, one of the top in the country, and she's very young, 23, 24. And she went to a, you know, Michelin star country manor, and they broke her with the hours, absolutely broke her.
It's like your friend Will, though, wasn't it? That runs the restaurant at Flimwell.
Yeah.
You know, he recognised quite a long time ago that one of the problems with the hospitality and catering industry is the hours.
Yeah, brutal.
People won't work in that industry because of the unsociable hours. And he, in his place, went to a four-day week a long time ago for his catering staff. Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a shift pattern, though, basically. And the funny thing is, it's how you sell it, isn't it? If you tell people you're going to work a shift pattern, they go, "Ooh, I don't fancy that." If you go, "You're going to work a 4-day week," they go, "Oh, yes, I'm in."
Psychologically.
It's just psychological, isn't it? Yeah,
it is. But, I mean, we know hospitality is brutal.
Yeah. But there's so many industries that are struggling, you know, right across the board, basically.
So 1.2 million job vacancies that we know of at the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And
that's
probably gone up a bit.
Yeah, well, one of the things that people never look at when you talk about unemployment is that it's not static. Because the numbers stay roughly the same, people get fooled. You know, there's 1.4 million people unemployed, but they're not the same 1.4 million people every week. Yeah.
Yeah.
They come and go. It just hovers around 1.4 million. Mm-hmm. I can actually tell you because I know the numbers. Yeah. The amount of people that are long-term unemployed, that is someone that's unemployed for more than 9 months consecutively, is 400,000.
Right.
And they're basically people that, there's three types of unemployment, yeah? There's structural, frictional, and cyclical. And they're structural. Mm. Yeah, they're people without the skills to get a job or without the wherewithal to get a job, you know, so maybe they have some kind of problem that stops them getting a job. And then there are a small minority of people, and it is a small minority of people, that don't want a job.
And let's not. We'll talk on another show because we're running out of time because we've got fabulous guests. But apprenticeship. Did you see the lovely shed that absolute genius did in my back garden?
Oh, yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes,
so, a real artisan. I just met him by chance. He was recommended to me. And he's put up this shed. He made it all by hand. He called it curbside joinery. Everything was built. He made the door, the whole lot, and it's absolutely immaculate. And to watch him work from my kitchen window, it was bliss watching him work. He was so methodical and lovely and just a darling.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You watching him work, yeah.
And he had his...
Oh, but did you lock him in your wardrobe again?
No.
Oh, right.
No. But he brought his own kettle and I kept popping out. It was freezing, you know, he was doing it in the garden.
Yeah.
And I said, "Do you want a coffee? Do you want a tea, Simon?" He bought his own kettle and he, you know, hooked into our electric. And he said, "Oh, if there's no electric, I just bring a little gas thing." And he's just a darling.
Right.
But what a craftsman.
Fantastic.
You know. Yeah.
So what are you going to do with that shed? That's your office now, is it? Or Gavin's office?
I've got to lock Gavin in there.
Yeah.
No, we're going to move lawnmowers and things that are currently... We have an old, very old 50s sort of garage in the garden. So we're going to move cram. I mean, it's, you know what it's like when you've got space. You fill it, don't you? So it's full of butcher's blocks and things that my dad gave me, and old spades and shovels. So we're going to pare it down, take a load to charity, put the lawnmower and all the basics in that little shed.
Yeah.
And then the garage and the garden is going to become a summer house home office, because me and the new husband have 2 years been sharing the office, which was my office. He's ruined the whole place, Christine. I had a lovely notice board with all my little things on and my passwords. That's all gone. He's filed it in a drawer. I like to just look on my notice board, and he's rearranged it, and we now have to, you know, jostle to do a Zoom call.
Okay. Right.
That's what we're doing.
We haven't done any emails and we haven't done any tweets so far, and it's 23 minutes past one, so time's moving on, and we've got a guest to speak to.
Did you know Paragon Drones would like a shout-out, Paul Andrews?
Would they?
They said they'd love a mention, and they say that PR and Rotary sounds like a great lineup. Bring on the tunes. And if you want to follow Paragon Drones, they are, as they say, Paragon Drones. And you can follow them on paragondrones.co.uk. They propel their drone services to higher levels through excellence, harmonising drones and businesses by creating value and exceeding expectation. And can they never fly past my window?
Higher.
Especially when I'm in my dressing gown.
Higher level. I see what they did there. Yeah. Anyway, we got Darren on. So this cheesy tunage is for him.
Oh, should be Meatloaf this week, you know.
Yeah.
This is If Your Memory Serves You Well, Wheels on Fire.
It is, Wheels on Fire.
I'm good, aren't I?
Yeah, yeah. We were gonna meet again and wait. So
Brock Associates Group. Let us look after all your people needs so you can focus on growing your business. No long-term tie-ins, just responsive, commercially minded support. Find us at lochassociates.co.uk.
Talis Independent Financial Advisors can help you invest, organise your pensions, and even get you the best possible life insurance, mortgage, or equity release deal. Check out talisifa.com. Grow your business with Kent's Best Business Events. Visit bestbusinessevents.co.uk.
Become part of our community to build your social media habits with Workouts. Increase your brand's presence and engagement. Go to wedosocialmedia.co.uk to register for 2 free social media workouts every Wednesday. 10:30 a.m. Facebook and 11:30 a.m. LinkedIn.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
This is Channel 2.
Wow, welcome back. That was absolutely fabulous, wasn't it? Wheels on fire.
Oh, yeah, well, took me back with a Hammond organ.
Absolutely.
And a little bit of fab, isn't it? Of course.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
it just took you back. I do love a Hammond organ. I took the opportunity while that was playing, it wasn't very long, because it's a 60s tune, I think, to snaffle one of Darren's custard tarts.
Did you?
They're very delicious.
Have you eaten the whole thing?
No, I got a little spoon. I just got a quarter, because we always worried you'll cough when you're live on air, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
If you get a little crumb of pastry at the back of your throat.
Absolutely. Anyway, my choice of cheesy tunage was in recognition of Mr. Darren Wheel of Intune PR. Darren, good afternoon. Welcome back on the show. It's an absolute pleasure to see you again.
Likewise, feelings mutual.
Yeah. So it's great to have you back. And thank you so much for joining us. For those that don't know, why don't you just give us a quick overview of Darren and Intune PR?
Yeah, well, PR obviously stands for public relations, and it's the awareness game.
Right.
The fame game is another way of putting it.
Right.
What it used to be was possibly in Neolithic times, it might have been banging some rocks together to get some attention setting light and having some smoke signals.
Yep.
It eventually progressed up to the printed press and newspapers and magazines and trying to get stories out in there. And these days it's moved on to raising awareness of businesses, organisations, individual services, whatever it is, through whatever the channels are. And some of the hottest now would be things like your podcasts, influencers and things like that. Although old print still has its role very strongly so, and I like that channel too.
Yeah.
Can I tell you a story, actually?
Yeah, for it, Darren.
Yeah, prompted me, and this relates to radio, one of the other wonderful platforms, which I really enjoy anyway. You mentioned Hammond organs.
I love a Hammond organ.
There's a Hammond organ player called Jimmy Smith, I think his name was. And he went on to Radio Caroline and had the Hammond organ hauled up the side of the ship in the North Sea or whatever it was at the time and played live there. 46 years later than that, I was working with a band because some of my stuff is music, hence the Intune PR, by the way.
See what he did there.
Yeah, yeah.
Very clever.
Yeah, so I was working with the Billy Walton Band from New Jersey, or a rock and soul
New
outfit.
Jersey?
New Jersey, and they're fabulous. I spoke to
Are they
Billy.
Absolutely fabulous?
As fabulous as that song. Billy told me his two favourite tour items once, Jack Daniels and Duct Tape. Anyway, moving swiftly on.
Duct tape.
Find it all over stages.
Oh, okay. So you don't trip on the wire.
I took him onto the Radio Caroline ship, the Ross Revenge, which was at the time in Tilbury Dockyard, and he became the first band to play on the deck of that. In 46 years.
Wow.
And we got out that videoed, and it was just so much fun. Meant a lot to him. And it was in November, so his sax player was going, I'm not sure my instrument's going to work here.
Too cold?
I think Radio Caroline's back on air as an internet station.
It's been going for practically 60-odd years.
Right.
And Steve Caroline, who's on 2 till 6 on Thursdays, actually lives in Orpington, is a friend of mine, and he was the one doing the interview with Billy on that day.
Oh, really?
But we also had Billy interviewing him about the history of Radio Caroline, the world's most famous.
So Steve Caroline is named
Steve
after
Steve Anthony.
So he named the station, did he?
No,
you say Steve Caroline?
Steve Anthony of Radio Caroline.
Oh, I see.
You know, the station was...
I got very excited there.
She did there. She thought his name was Caroline.
Yeah, and I thought it was still
strange
alive.
Strange name for a bloke, but never mind.
Steve Caroline.
Rohan Rattley, an Irish guy, was the manager of Georgie Fame.
Right. I love Georgie Fame. Seen him live at Ronnie Scott's quite a few times. Love him.
And there was barely any exposure for him through the BBC airwaves back in the day, in the early 60s, I think this was. And he bought a ship.
Fitted it out
with a thumping great mast in it, floated it around into the sea and broadcast in, to the enormous annoyance of the British Broadcasting Authorities, the pirate radio. And they went up to between 10 and 25 million listeners and broke the stones of
amazing,
people like that.
Amazing.
It gives me a thrill thinking about it.
Well, you're a bit young, Darren, but I'm of an age where I used to sit in my bathroom as a kid and with my little transistor radio, listening to Radio Caroline, and my dad would be banging on the door, "What are you doing in there?" You know, because we had one bathroom. And but radio, it just transfixed us. It was our whole life.
Well, I absolutely love radio, not just as a PR, but as a person. In my office, I've got a 1940s Bakelite Bush radio with all the valves. And coming on here, podcasts and live transmission internet radio, they're the most contemporary and modern form of it.
Absolutely. Yeah. And radio is still a big, 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 big medium. There's more radio stations in the UK now than there's ever been. There's 120 radio stations in Kent alone.
Yeah.
Rotary have their own radio station.
Certainly.
You know, it's a fantastic medium because it's the one entertainment form you can do while doing something else. Yeah. So
you can be chopping vegetables or whatever.
Or driving a car
or
operating machinery. You can't do that and watch the telly. Some people try, but you can't. Mm. Yeah. Whereas with radio, you can. One of the interesting things is I like a statistic, folks. Over one third of UK households now have smart speakers, like an Alexa or Echo Dot or Google. Yeah. And 75% of all smart speaker applications are people listening to the radio.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, this is one of the reasons why last August we started up a podcast. The last time I came on the show, I've been here once. I didn't even think really about doing a podcast, maybe a PR one.
Yep.
But we started one up, myself and Zeenat Narani, one of the other presenters with Mindset Matters on this channel.
Yep.
Picked because A, she's a friend, B, she's local, and C, she's an experienced presenter, thanks to you.
Exactly.
You know, what a wonderful coincidence. And I was talking to, for a recording yesterday, Bromley's councillor, Asia Cuthbert. And she is the Bromley Tackling Loneliness Champion.
Oh,
and
wow.
The what? Sorry?
Tackling Loneliness Champion.
Right, okay. Yeah.
There is a minister for this as well.
Okay, I understand. Yep.
And she made precisely the same point you did earlier on, which is as a parent of two young children, she's found it quite transforming, the ability to listen to podcasts and so on, while she's doing the childcare and the daily chores and all that.
A human voice. I think Tracy said similar, didn't she? Tracy Ferguson, who is the mother of Plucky's World, as you would say. So you can find her on Tazy 64. But she said that during what we've all been through in the last 2 years, that listening to the Business Bunker, use the B Bunker hashtag if you're tweeting us, please. She said it's helped her keep connected because we are like mates, you know, on the radio. And there's people that we've never met that we tweet and they listen to the show and we're all connected, which is really nice.
I mean, we don't want to talk just about radio, although radio is a lovely medium and it's one of the mediums that you introduce people to for their PR. And it is a very strong medium as well for public relations and for awareness and marketing and all the things that you need it for. It's but radio is also a growing industry, you know, because they were supposed to switch off FM in 2012. They're now saying 2030. They introduced DAB, which was one of the biggest cock-ups ever.
Mm.
Thank you, BBC. Mm. So they've had to change it to DAB Plus now. And I noticed the other day that there's a lot of original DAB radios that no longer get DAB Plus, so, you know, all that. And then on top of that, you've got internet radio. And to be quite honest, that will be the future. I think I think I'm right in saying that as far as BBC radio is concerned, more people listen on the internet than any other way. You know, when you imagine that you can get that anywhere in the world. Yeah, so if you want to, if you're an expat living in, I don't know,
Dubai
or Spain or somewhere, and you want to listen to Radio 1,
Rwanda.
Yeah, the only way that you can, oh yes, if you're Bird and you're living in Rwanda.
Bird was a presenter on the show earlier on. She's gone to live in Rwanda, so she can still listen to us. And
yeah.
Hello, Bird, if you're listening. There she is, look on the wall.
Yeah, that's Bird there. Yeah. So, yeah, she'll be listening. Hi, Bird. Mind you, it's probably about 3 a.m. there, isn't it?
I don't know, actually. Africa's on our timeline, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, actually. Yeah. East Africa will be on the same.
Yeah.
So people listen on the internet or, you know, on iPlayer or what, which is a digital platform.
It's convenient, isn't it,
yeah,
to listen again as well. That's what
yeah.
I find.
Yeah.
I'm not always able to listen during the day if I'm working and stuff. Or you might start listening and then you get interrupted because the doorbell will go if you're working from home. Mm. But it's really convenient because you can pause it and you can start it again.
But broadening out the discussion away from just radio, Darren, into general public relations, I mean, what we're talking about here is getting exposure for an organisation or a business, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you can do that with any number of medium. You know, from, as you say, print was how it was done in the old days mostly, to TV, radio, podcasts. How are people finding it? The reason I kind of stumble over this is I find it amazing doing this radio show. We invite business people on or, you know, organisations. And how many people come on, they've got a fantastic story to tell, but they just don't join in the discussion, you know, and you think, you know, you had this wonderful opportunity to promote what you do and you kind of just ignored it. and I guess there's a number of reasons why people do that. You know, they don't feel comfortable, they don't know how to do it or whatever. And you also get people that will say this to me quite often. They'll go, oh, I don't want to be forward.
Yeah.
It's a really British thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh no, I don't want to. Oh no, I don't want to oversell myself.
Yeah.
Well, there's all sorts of books being written about this kind of thing. So, if you take the E-Myth as one famous business book example, it talks about the fact that you've got your entrepreneur types, you've got your kind of technical people, and there's about 3 or 4 main categories in there, but some of those categories are literally people who love to have a conversation with themselves and other people like them, but don't see the point or wish to take it any further elsewhere, which is why people like me exist, because we're people. We love talking to other people.
Mm. Yeah.
And actually, PR, the very first place to start is simply networking.
Yeah.
Talk to people you know who you can access.
Yeah. Mm.
And they're only then and after that, really, should you be thinking that much about the wider thing, depending on what you're doing, of course.
Mm. But you know, doing your job for you here, Darren. PR is a very powerful thing, yeah. I'm saying this as expressing this as an opinion, and I want your view on it as a professional in this marketplace. I think a lot of certainly small businesses go, oh, public PR, no, it's not for me. I couldn't afford that. It's not, you know, I just want to sell what I do. Do you come across that as a thing when you're talking to small businesses that they really go, oh, no, it's too much for me?
I come across shyness. I come across that as well. And you see it equally on the social media platforms that people don't particularly want to engage. But it is the case with both the media and with influencers. A single retweet or share by someone who's got a very large following and likes buying. And working with a cleaning company, T-Pole, let's take one example. That company went onto Twitter, attracted the attention of Lindsay Crombie, who is the queen of clean and then on Obsessive Compulsive Cleaners on TV. And she's gone on to enormous things now. So she's got like 6 pages in The Sun, Good Housekeeping here, BBC World Service. Just tons of magazines and everything. And her dropping a good word in for the company and saying that she is mildly obsessed with their gold detergent, which is literally
which
true.
Which I have in my utility room.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful colour, isn't it? It's actually a pretty detergent.
Didn't deter my squirrels.
No.
We tried.
The BBC Radio London the other day, there's a presenter who's taken over from Jo Good. Can't remember her name, which is rather irritating. But she was complaining badly about the impact of squirrels in her pocket garden. And I was thinking, I must ring Paul up to give her a call.
Yeah, absolutely.
She literally said, please tell me any methods anyone has to deter squirrels.
Well, Paul's the expert, but he hasn't quite cracked it.
It's a well-known thing, radio presenters and squirrel infestations. Actually, probably because we're all nuts.
Here's a link, actually, to what you were saying about people and going into the media. In my association over the last couple of years with the Rotary Clubs locally in Bromley and Kent, this is an organisation, and I'll give them a little preview here, but I regard the Rotary as localised groupings of friends with an international platform that have done enormous things like the near or total eradication of polio, and at a local level do things like sending a Santa out around Biggin Hill, because I was there on one of the nights when they did this, to collect money which then goes on to charity. So it's like Santa as Robin Hood. I'm going to go and take the money instead of hand it out. But it was fantastic, and it was brilliant for the community, and it was a lot of fun. But the Rotary itself, certainly to some extent at a local level and more widely, is to me a little shy. It's struggling a little bit to grasp the opportunities of social media, which is understandable. But some of the stuff they're doing is so awesome, both locally and wider. It deserves a lot more attention. And I'm about to join the thing.
Right.
And I'm going to give it a bit of a prod on the
join
PR.
The thing? You mean the Rotary?
The operation, yeah.
Wow.
The local Bromley Rotary Club.
How long have we worked on that one, Darren?
ever since you started the Rotary Club project for unemployed people during furlough, which myself and five other professionals joined
in
with.
News.
And which actually in itself reminded me that in Bromley, trying to communicate with anyone is very difficult because there's not many good communication channels left, and that in turn sparked up the podcast, The Bromley Buzz, eventually.
Absolutely. It's an interesting thing, isn't it? Being of the older persuasion, I remember many years ago when we just, locally at least, we had one radio station and one local newspaper, basically. And that newspaper had a circulation of about 18,000 people. And you would spend hundreds of pounds, I mean literally hundreds, £400-£500, putting an advert in a paper to get to 18,000 people. I personally have 25,000 followers on Twitter. So it's a bigger readership than that local paper. But people don't seem to equate it in the same way. You go, well, not only can you put your thing in front of 25,000 people, you can talk to them.
Yeah.
Whereas with a newspaper, it was passive.
Unless you write in a letter.
Unless you write in a letter which is published in 3 weeks' time. And one of the things that used to happen to me, I used to advertise in newspapers, and one of the annoying things is you'd spend £500 on an ad that came out on a Friday and there'd be a typo in it, or they put the wrong telephone number and you'd ring them up, you go, you got a wrong telephone number, like, oh sorry, you can have a free ad next week. So you'd wait a week for the corrected ad to come out, whereas now you can edit things, change things, you can talk to things. But people still seem very reluctant to me on the whole to engage.
Shall I give you a PR tip?
Go for it.
We love a tip.
Well, one of the things that people don't appreciate as much as they might about PR and awareness is that it's all very well being heard by people who may not or may not go on to buy your service or your product. But engaging in getting things into print, into online and all the rest of it, and being quoted, it brings with it something else, and that's reputation.
Yes.
So when you put on your website that, as featured in Radio 5 Live, in the Times newspaper, in the Croydon Advertiser, whichever it is, that is an open door to build up your reputation.
Your brand
and
your reputation.
And one of the ones which I've been working on a lot lately with my clients is membership bodies and professional organisations. Most of those have their own communications functions. They have their newsletters, they have their websites. Some of them have, like, the Rotary radio station. And people aren't remembering that oh, I'm just paying £150, £500, £700 a year for the membership of some of these things. And if you communicate with the headquarters people, the people who are running the magazines, the editors, they would love your stories. They would love to quote you. I joined Enterprise Nation and got something out in the blog there. Did a webinar jointly with Michelle Hatcher, another PR person who's fabulous, absolutely fabulous, in fact. And
were you on fire, Darren?
I was, because they ended
up... We was on fire.
They called me a master storyteller. A master storyteller for okay. business, which yeah. is a massive compliment. And like at the top of my testimonials list on the website.
Yeah. I was just thinking about Pimlico Plumbers, because any time there's ever anything, you know, about, I don't know, road works or gas or whatever, Pimlico Plumbers is always there,
Did you see him on Twitter last night, though? He appeared on a TV programme by Zoom and he'd had his eyebrows done.
No.
Oh, dear. What,
really?
Yeah, yeah.
So what were they? All arched?
Yeah, yeah, but black. They're thick black eyebrows.
Oh, it's wrong.
But the funniest thing was, it was the memes that came out afterwards. There was a lady, she had a coat hanger, a plastic coat hanger and a felt tip pen, yeah, and she's put the coat hanger by her eyes and gone...
No, that's so
I look like Charlie now.
It's funny because my new husband and I were watching the Dubai thing. You know, there's been that Dubai thing about expats in Dubai. I don't know if you've seen it. And my husband said, God, it's like every woman on that program had trout lips, like that, and the eyelashes. And he said the eyelashes are getting out the room before the woman even gets out.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's like, it's very strange. But I must look at his eyebrows because I didn't see that.
Yeah.
All that, though, is human interest stories. I mean, you like a bit of human interest, so why not
What, you
talk
mean
about,
eyelashes? And
yeah, why not talk about your magnetic eyelashes? Yeah. It's one of the major topics of a couple
Russian,
of female friends of
your
mine.
Your Russian
well.
Eyelashes. yeah, but I do find it a bit spooky when men do their eyebrows like that, especially with an arch. It's all a bit wrong.
Yeah.
Darren's all right.
yeah, you can barely see his because they're blonde. Yeah. I'm fascinated by this process of PR, though, Darren, because I think it's for small businesses. You know, we know that lots of big businesses engage in public relations and marketing and have huge marketing departments and use big PR agencies and reputational management and all kinds of things, especially when they do anything a bit silly or naughty. But this program kind of is aimed at small and medium-sized businesses. And so many small businesses don't see the opportunities of using something like that. And that's what really kind of bothers me, that I think you ought to have far more customers.
Well, I've got some more lately.
Have you? Well done.
Yeah, one of the enterprises that Bromley has done through the library service is called Startup Bromley.
Right.
And you can join that if you're a Bromelian. For free if you're a startup or growing business. And at the moment, there is the opportunity to be coached by a whole bunch of coaches, including business, social media, mindset, in the case of Zeno, who's on it, and myself.
Right.
And I had a coaching session that relates to that this week. I was talking to a lady. A lady. And she is in homeopathy.
Right.
Which is a tricky one for PR because it's a subject which is a rather Marmite.
Well,
some people hate it, some people like it.
They're not allowed to actually come on air because I've invited my lovely Mohammed Kafour, who's been helping with my vaccine damage. I said, come on and we'll do a show. Not Business Monger, but another show. And he said, well, you can talk to him on Business Monger if you want. But more of a health one. And he said, we're not allowed to. We get struck off if we say about anything. And I've also got the cranial lady that I'm seeing at the moment for vaccine damage, AstraZeneca. She said the same. She said they haven't been vaccinated, but they're not allowed to talk about it. They're not allowed to talk about any of their clients' vaccine damage because they get a huge fine. And if they carry on talking about it, they get struck off.
Well, one of the things that a PR needs to be aware of is the restrictions around people.
Absolutely.
So I've worked with solicitors before. The Law Society frown upon all sorts of things.
Oh, yes.
I helped a financial advisor onto one of the shows here. the enormous rubric, the text that he had to read out of clauses.
Yeah. This can go up and down, round and round, in and out. Yeah.
You know. So how do you go about helping a homeopathy
Well, in this particular case, When you're doing a coaching thing, it's not about trying to sell yourself so you end up with more coaching sessions or them as a permanent client. Mm. It's about being honest with them about what they need. Mm. So that person, partly because of the sensitivities, and also because they don't want to grow, this person didn't want to grow their business beyond a certain point and turn it into something where employing other people. Mm. So what's the point in going mad trying to get it into big things when she's only got so much time and only wants to do 15 hours a week? Mm. Nevertheless, she can improve her reputation by getting into the communications channel of their organisation, which she's a member of, so she's now done that. And I was saying to her, well, you can sell your things into, and this comes back to the networking side of things, why not contact local sports groups and people like this? Mm. And then you might be able to do talks for free to them. And
there's
might
a good
lead
synergy there.
As well.
Yeah. Also with acupuncture, there's a good synergy with homeopathy. Mm.
Darren, thank you so much for that. Do stay with us for the rest of the show. But for the moment, Darren Wheel of Intune PR, thank you so much. Give us a shout for your website.
www.intunepr.co.uk.
Cool.
And like yourselves on Twitter.
Fantastic. .co.uk. So wibblywobblyway.intunepr.co.uk. Fantastic.
Yep. And I've got a playlist on there, hence the music.
Oh, nice one. I'm going to try and catch up with some of our tweets because we're so far behind with them because Jules just doesn't stop talking.
Yeah, Twitter's gone bananas, actually.
It has, and we haven't read any. Tips and Dinks. Doesn't time fly? It's Tuesday already. It's Business Bunker, bringing business owners, businesses, sport, small business, business advice, business support, business women, businesses, enterprise, entrepreneurs, Tuesday Motivation, Tuesday Vibes, Vanilla Web and Jules Sirkin. Thank you. I think that says it all.
Yeah, they do. And IFF Kitchen say we're delivering, cooking up deliciousness, delivering to home and office, beautiful meals. You can find them. I've lost their tweet. I'm just doing this from my head. Yeah. IFF Kitchen, I think.
Yeah, it is.
On the Twitter. Thanks for that.
Martin Reeves, Collector's Buddy. Yes, please, can I have a shout out? It's a fabulous show and we're listening live today. So thank you for that, Martin.
Spinnerjet is cleaning and FM services. What's FM mean?
Facilities management.
Oh, how clever. Based in Sevenoaks, there is a little phone number and an email. The email is info@spinnerjet.co.uk. And they are cleaning all sorts. They do our driveways and they do cars and valets and valeting and everything.
Cool. Mark Beatty, it's a great show, guys. I'm listening. Off-Broadway Travel. I'm listening intently to the show after being on last week. Have a great show, Mark.
Did he ever answer my question that I tweeted in? Did you get my tweet? I was sending a tweet about was it going to be easier to get PCR tests with the industry.
He did answer it.
Did he? Do
eventually.
I have to tune in to hear it?
Yeah, but you didn't listen, did you? You didn't listen to
the
show.
I was driving.
And you didn't listen to the replay, so you don't know what the answer is now.
I'll ring him.
And I'm going to go and delete the show from the archive, so you'll never know.
That's Paragon Drones, we've mentioned them, haven't we?
Yeah.
Hello to you.
I've got a tweet from Neville, but I'm going to wait until we're talking to Dennis and Christine before I read this because it's relevant to them.
Can I drone on just for a second as well?
Yeah.
Drone?
Drones.
Harrigan
very
drones.
Good thing. Very good thing for PR, you know.
Really?
Estate agents, for example, are now taking panoramic views of places from the outside using drones.
Yeah, they keep going over my garden, which is annoying.
She sunbathes naked and that's in the winter, yeah? And the drones give her trouble. Don't mention estate agents to me at the moment, not unless you want me to start a rant again.
All right, I'll give you another one which you might be amused by. Listening to some football the other day on the radio, and they're saying, oh, no, the game's been stopped by the drone. Oh, hang on a minute, it's the BBC drone.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
We've had a tweet from Newbies, Swift First Aid Training, and they say, great show, listening in, and we would love a shout out for Swift First Aid, and we're helping people save lives in Kent. So I'm going to go on to them. Their Twitter is @SwiftFirstAid1. And they're providing expert first aid and health and safety training in England. They're based in Sittingbourne and their website is www.swiftfirstaidtraining.co.uk. Give them a follow and a welcome.
I Trust Assurance. I've asked for a Business Bunker shout out. I Trust Assurance are the suppliers of the Speak Up app. It's a whistleblowing app and employee engagement app, and very good it is too. Give them a follow. I Trust Assurance.
They were on the show earlier on, weren't they?
A few weeks ago, yeah. I've got a lovely, lovely tweet from Tracy Ferguson. listening in live today. Looking forward to tuning in, as it's really helped me to feel more connected over the past 2 years. I'd love a plucky shout out, please. We're happy to be back supporting others this year, helping them to start talking about their strengths and values. Tracy is the lady behind Plucky Cards, which is a way of helping young people and people with issues that are trying to get into work. She works with the Prince's Trust, helping people as well. And she has a series of cards called Plucky Cards, which help you understand your employability strengths and your values and stuff like that. So give Tracy a follow. Her Twitter handle is Tazzi, T-A-Z-I-6-4.
And we've got another new follower, which these are all the pilgrims and disciples of our lovely Rotary guests here. We've got Jade Window Cleaning. Jade Window Cleaning, 30 years of experience, and they offer efficient, reliable service at a competitive price, working around Kent, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. And they say, listening in, some great guests today with Intune PR, Bromley Rotary, with Darren and Christine, and Denise, who Dennis, Darren, Christine, and Dennis, who
hit her if you want. Mate.
You started this off this morning. Who both do some fantastic work for the community and charities in around Bromley, and they are Jade WCSS window cleaning experts.
Yeah, fantastic.
And Jason from there participated in Rotary stuff and did a great job as well recently.
Window job.
Well, he certainly looked in quite a few of them when he was doing it.
He was doing our Christmas collections with us, wasn't he? Yeah. It was a great, really. He was actually our Santa, so he loved
it. No, he wasn't. Santa was Santa.
Oh, that's
a secret out now.
Cool.
Tracy's got another tweet, so she says, ooh, those cakes look good. Uh-huh. Enjoying the conversation with Intune PR. Some great tips, especially about visibility and reputation. Yes, Jules, reciprocal and synergistic. I just said synergy, it's much easier. Opportunities are out there.
That is cakes I haven't touched.
Try and, try and say synergistic.
Synergistic.
Try and say reciprocal.
Reciprocal.
Like, same all over again.
Synergistical reciprocalness.
Oh, yeah, but it's
right, anyway,
all over.
We're going to join the Channel Radio newsroom, and then when we come back, we're going to talk to Dennis, Christine, and the fabled Denise.
Yeah, Denise will be coming.
Who doesn't
in.
Exist.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And we should be playing some Meatloaf, of course.
Yeah. Well, we're not. We're going to the newsroom.
Let's find out what's going on.
Yeah.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.